Just glad he did that for you. Amen. Acts chapter 5 tonight, if you got your Bible, Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter number 5. I don't like the way these glasses look tonight. How do those look to you? They look weird to me. It's my last pair of glasses in here. They usually have 4 or 5 pairs in here for me. Somebody stole, they left me one. I got to wear the weird ones tonight. When I'm reading, I expect you to look at your Bible tonight. I'll tell you. I wonder if those are even men's glasses. Those look kind of weird. They're not pink, so I guess they'll be all right from there. These guys that say you can still be a man and wear pink, they're going to find out different when they get to heaven. Amen. All right, with that said, let's look at Acts chapter number 5 tonight. All right, verse number 1. Story of Ananias and Sapphira, it says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Heavenly Father, would you bless the reading of your word, and Lord, you can speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, thank you again that we can come to church. Lord, get away from the world for just a few moments as we again hear your word preached, fellowship with other Christians, sing the songs that would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I ask you to please bless this service, the remainder of it. And Father, may you be glorified. You are a great God. Thank you for it. Thank you that you do save sinners and that we're one of those. Lord, help us to tell others. Give us wisdom now tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church family, very familiar story, so it's not a whole lot to understand. Ananias and Sapphira, they were part of the church. This was not their tithe, by the way. The sin of Ananias and Sapphira is really that they lied to the Holy Ghost, as is mentioned in verse number 4. He said, you've not lied unto men, you've lied unto God. This was an offering. The reason we know this was an offering because the previous chapter, if you want to look at just a couple of verses with me, in chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Jump down to verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as had possessions of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So when you read that, and then you jump right into chapter number 5, you understand what was going on. A revival was taking place at the church of Jerusalem, and people from that revival decided to give. And by the way, that's part of revival. When you figure out that what you have is not your own, it belongs to God, and God, whatever you want with it, you can have it. And that's exactly what Barnabas did. Barnabas gave what he had and said, okay, this is not my tithe, this was an offering. He says, I'm going to give extra to God. And then you get to chapter number 5, and Ananias and Sapphira thought that they could have the glory without the giving. They looked at what everybody said about Barnabas. Boy, Barnabas, look at this. He just sold his lands and gave it to the church. And he gave it freely. And it was kind of a substantial gift. And Ananias and Sapphira, they said they wanted to be a part of that. And so they spoke up. Well, we're going to give too. Now, the Bible doesn't say exactly what the commitment was, but we know for sure that whatever they committed, they didn't give it all. Now, what I want you to notice tonight is really in these first 2 or 3 verses tonight, I want you to look back at your Bible. look at chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse number 2 with me. And I'm going to read you, I'm going to stop, you tell me what the word is. In verse number 2, it says this. I'll read verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, has sold a possession and kept back, what's the word? Part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So church family, we understand from just those three times the word part is used that whatever they committed to, they didn't keep their commitment. Now, church family, we can talk tonight about faith promise missions giving. That's not your tithe. That's your part that you're giving to God above your tithe as an offering to be able to get the gospel around the world through the mission, through missionaries, all right? I think we're all in agreement, Wednesday night crowd, that faith promise missions, that's a biblical principle that you get to voluntarily choose on whether you're going to be a part of. And again, they made it public here. They made public what they were going to give, but the Bible says that they kept back part. Now, the principle tonight I want you to think about tonight is simply this. What part are you keeping back? I want you to think about spiritually speaking. You know, as a Christian, you know, we claim that we're giving it all. God, you have all of me. I surrender all. I've surrendered everything. Whatever you want in my life, that's what I want to give. But truthfully, we become like Ananias and Sapphira, where we get to the place where we keep back part. And I think part of it is a time factor. You've been saved a length of time, or you grew up in a Christian home, and now you're up in those older years, or if not like you're a youth any longer, whether you're college or newly married. And there was a time in your life where you would give it all. God had all of you. Look at me tonight. This is not just a message, a sermon tonight, a message. I want you to think about yourself tonight. Have you changed spiritually to where there was a time that you were more on fire for God, or you gave God more, but now you're keeping back part? There's several areas that we could look at tonight. I'd like to just talk about just a few tonight. I think about a person's time. If there is ever a day that we're living in that most people do not go to church, and I know tonight you're here on a Wednesday evening, but it is getting to be more prevalent, whether you know it or not, people don't go to church except for one time a week. They go Sunday morning, and then if they maybe hit a Bible study here or there, or if they're available, they might jump. Now, church, I mean, this is the Wednesday night crowd. You chose to come tonight, and by the way, you made the right choice. And the reason we come to church is not to see everybody. The reason we come to church is because God said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, that's what I'm supposed to do. But I want to tell you, people have looked at time as their time and not God's time. Oh, I just can't go to church. I got to get up tomorrow morning at 4:30 or 5, and I got to go to work. Listen, I know that there's several of you, you're working 40 and 50 and 60 hours a week. And I'm thank God for you. I want to tell you, it's easy as a Christian for us to look at somebody else and say, well, they ought to be down there more. I'm thankful for as much as you are down here. But I do realize that you need to continue to think this, that your time's not yours. Your time is God's. The 40 hours or 50 that you put in at work, that's still not that's not the employer's time. That's really God's time. Our lives belong completely to Him. And this thing is, I don't have time for church. What you're saying is this, I'm going to keep back part. In other words, I don't mind coming to church Sunday school or Sunday morning, but man, I don't know about the Sunday night thing, or I don't know about this Wednesday night thing. And I know this is a Wednesday night service and Wednesday night message. But if it does nothing else, realize your time's not your time. Your time's God's time. Yeah, that's right. There's some of you in here, there is no doubt that you used to get up earlier to spend time with God, and now your time is very limited with God. If you're not careful, you have gotten to the place where, okay, my employer can demand my time, but God's not going to demand my time. Don't keep back part. Okay, so God, my life is yours. You schedule it out like you wanted to schedule out, and I just want to show up for whatever you want me to show up for. God wants you to show up for church. God wants you to show up for devotion. You know, there's a difference between having devotion and having a devotional life. There's a difference between reading your Bible and God speaking to you. You know what? The problem is that sometimes we put the bare minimum into our devotional life because we have other things to do. I want to spell it out like Ananias and Sapphira. You kept back part. You kept back part. We started a new year, and some of you made some New Year's resolutions, and I hope all of you listening tonight, I hope you made New Year's resolutions, but can I just tell you, it doesn't matter if you missed a day or two. Pick it back up. Keep going. Don't stop. You know why? Because you don't want to be like them where you keep back part. You want to give God your all, and that all means in your time of our life. There was a day that you made time for soul winning, but now you've kept back part. Follow me tonight. In every area of our life, time seems to be the thing that I just don't have enough of. Just, I don't believe that the church should be demanding. I believe that we live for God, and He's the demander.
That's right.
And the Bible says that His commandments are not grievous. So in other words, what God has asked us to do is not some hardship of life. We've got it pretty good, don't you think? Drove out of McDonald's today, and sure enough, Rhodey was there. Rhodey wasn't there when I pulled in, but he was there when I pulled out. For whatever reason, today I got me two sandwiches. I wasn't going to eat the second one, but I had a feeling that Rhodey'd be out there. I pull out, Rhodey's on the side of the road, and Rhodey's a homeless fellow. I said, Rhodey, it's cold out here. He says, I forgot your name. I said, Reverend Hanks. No, I didn't do that. I'm just joking. I said, my name's Scott. I said, Rhodey, where do you live? He said, oh, come on, Folks Road. He said, I live on Folks Road. I said, where on Folks Road? He says, well, I camp out on Folks Road. I said, how do you stay warm? He says, well, I got myself a propane heater. He said, it was pretty bad when it was 4 below. I just don't understand how we as Christians think we have it hard. I don't understand why we think to ourselves, I just can't make a time to go soul winning, or I can't make a time to get up and have my devotions, or I can't make a time to hit a service. Trisha, I want to just tell you something. Be careful that you don't keep back part.
Amen.
Moms and dads, you're the example for your children. And if we're going to have a next generation of children who even attend church, it's going to be because they saw their mom and dad show up every service.
Amen.
Would you just look around tonight? This is a Wednesday night crowd. I'm not preaching down or hard. You showed up tonight. I'm just saying, don't ever forget that I'm not to keep back part of whatever time God has given me in my life. I need to make sure I give my all. I was thinking about not just the time, but your talent. You know, it was D.L. Moody. He said, you know, I would have Christians do things for me, but sometimes it's too expensive. Think on that one for a second. Hey, do you understand that if God's given you an ability, He gave you that ability for a reason, you ought to use that ability for Him.
Amen.
Not hold it back. Use it for Him.
Amen.
Brother Green, what are you, 53? You and I are the same age, aren't we, 53? Am I right on that? All right. He's looking older. Don't you like that beard he has on him? Tell you what, it looks like my grandfather. Brother Green, how long have you been in the church here now? 26 years, 27, longer? 27 years? In 27 years, there has never been a time that I've not called him to work on a vehicle. He did not say yes. Not once. 27 years. Okay, so he's getting old. Look at him. Who's taking his place? Some of you have talents in your life, and your talents are different. It might be mechanical, it might be carpentry. But whatever that talent is, don't keep back part. Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira, because what they were giving was not their tithe. It was an offering. It was a free will offering. You ought to freely give that, God, here I am. This is whatever I have, that's what you have. By the way, whatever you have, God gave to you. You don't have it because you're intelligent, or you don't have it because you're economically stable. You have it because there's a God in heaven that chose to let you have what you have. And by the way, young people, you ought to be getting as many books on your shelf so God can use those books for others. You that are learning an instrument, learn an instrument. You that are learning a certain talent or career or some type of knowledge about something, get it all that you can. Why? Not for you and go, though God will let you benefit from that, so that you can use it for others. They kept back part. Are you keeping back part when it comes to your time, when it comes to your talent? I think sometimes we keep back part when we're talking about what God wants for our life when it comes to being separated Christian, the separated Christian life. You remember the book of Corinthians? He said, come up from among them and be separate. You know, we as Christians, we sometimes, if we're not careful, this is the line. And of course, to the left of that line, you know, this is sin. To the right of that line, you know, is righteousness and that which is right. Most Christians, if they're not careful, they stand right on the line. Hey, can I tell you something? Don't give God all. In other words, don't... just do what you enjoy doing. Do what you ought to do. Hey, I know that we're living in a day, and I know everybody, it's amazing, the older I get and the young people that are coming up, they're very gracious in the sense of the things that they're taught. But I know that sometimes in their mind, they think this is the craziest thing in the world. It's not crazy if it's scriptural. Church family, these glasses tonight took me a lot to put on. I don't like these glasses tonight. I mean, to me, they look stupid, all right? Are you all with me so far? I hope these aren't somebody else's glasses tonight. All right? They look weird to me. I'm glad I don't have to wear glasses, to be honest with you. My father was the kind of person, he would not wear wire-rim glasses. He thought wire-rim glasses were wrong. Now, these are not wire-rim. I would wear wire-rim. They look better than this, that's for sure. But he wouldn't wear them, all right? Now, that was just the preference that he had about glasses. Can I just tell you something? The things that you're learning from your own home and from church, if they're scriptural, don't just take part of that. Take all of that. In other words, I'm going to obey the scriptures to its fullest extent. I'm just trying to tell you that we're living in a society today of Christians, not just society of the public. We're living in a society of Christians today that are doing the bare minimum when it comes to being separate from the world because they don't want to look different from what the world is. Church family, we're not the world. Long hair is starting to come back on fellas. Can I just tell you, the Bible still says it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Okay, now we say amen, but you should have been in that generation when long hair was very acceptable, all right? But that pendulum is going back that direction. Hey, listen, don't hold back part. In other words, I want to be what the Lord wants me to be in every area of my life, not just a portion of it, but all of it. Ananias and Sapphira's problem was simply this, is that they lied to the Holy Ghost because it's, okay, I'm all in. They were not all in. Hey, are you all in? You should want to be all in. You should want to be in all spiritually. And there are going to be times you're going to trip up. There's going to be times that you're not going to be where you should be. But you should want to be. If you're a husband in here, you ought to want to be the best husband you can possibly be. You ought to love your wife, honor, cherish, nourish, cleave, be ravished with her love, rule over her, pray for her, be an example to her, know her, rejoice with her, be kind to her, and not be bitter against her. You say, well, I'm not real good on this one. Then you ought to want to be good on that one. If you're a wife in here, you should ought to want to be the best wife possible for your husband, to honor, to respect, to love, to submit. All of these things, you ought to be the best. If you're a child in here, you ought to want to be the best child possible. You should not grow up with this give me mentality that everybody has to take care of you. You ought to be a servant. Hey, young people, when's the last time you walked into the kitchen and did the dishes without being asked to? Awful quiet in here. When's the last time as you, as a young person, emptied the garbage without somebody asking you to? When's the last time you picked up things in the bathroom? You say, well, that's not my bedroom. It's just the bathroom and everybody else uses it. When's the last time you did something in the home without being asked to do it? I'm just trying to say is you should want to be all in, not just partially in. Amen. By the way, that's not just part of your family. That's all of your family. So Ananias and Sapphira's problem is they kept back part. I think we as Christians, we've got this idea, well, I'm a good Christian because I do this. But can I just tell you, you're not a good Christian if you don't do all of it. The goal of our Christianity is to be the best Christian possible, and that should be with everything in our life, not just a part. Amen. They kept back part. I think sometimes we keep back part. Sometimes it's unacceptable, or I should say unseparated dress when it comes to a man or a woman. Sometimes it's part of unequally yoked association. Sometimes it's part of an unrespectable habit that a Christian should not be doing. Sometimes it's just a part of places that we should not be attending. It's not all, it's just part. We as Christians should do as we sing, I surrender all. God, you have all of me, not just part of me. Barnabas surrendered all of his land, not just part of his land. Hannah surrendered all of her son, Samuel, not just part. Moses surrendered all of his position, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He left it all because he didn't choose part, he chose all. Amen. Ezekiel surrendered all when he lost his wife and he went out and served the Lord the next morning as he was commanded. Peter, James, and John surrendered all of their occupation when they left the fishing to serve the Lord. Zacchaeus surrendered all of his money. I'm just trying to say tonight that you've got to come to the conclusion, I don't want to be a partial Christian, I want to be a whole Christian. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira, your problem was not that you gave. Your problem is that you lied to the Holy Ghost because you said you were going to give it all, but you didn't give it all, you only gave part. Hey, how about you tonight? You've been in a Christian, you've been in the church here for X amount of years. And by the way, I think sometimes if you're not careful, what you used to do, you don't do anymore, and you say, well, it's just because I'm getting older. But can I just tell you, I don't think that's true for everything. It's not true for everything. I don't want to be a partial Christian. I don't want to be part. I want to be all in. I want to be completely surrendered to whatever God wants for my life. Those children are not your own. Have you surrendered all of your children to whatever God wants them to do? They're not yours. I want my child to grow up and be successful. I want my child to grow up and have a career. I want my child to grow up and maybe, you think, make money. You know what your desire ought to be? Just like Hannah's was. He's all yours. Whatever you want, that's what I want.
Amen. That's right.
Not just part. Not just part. Whole. All of you. Young person today in our Bible class, I had them write a paragraph just to write. I just wanted them to write. I said, I want you to write down, what does God want from you? What does God want from you? One person wrote, well, God wants my tithe. Another person wrote, you know, God wants me to worship him. Another person wrote, God wants me to tell people or be a soul winner, tell people about Jesus Christ. Hey, that's the question. What does he want from you? And you know what the answer should be? Whatever you want. I'm getting old.
Amen.
I made an exception to the rule that I've not done for all of these years. I'm confessing my sin. I was in class today with the college. And they, in all their other classes, they drink things in class. Are you guys okay over there? You're done drinking, I'm just telling you that. So I said, okay. I said, you guys want to, they're drinking, you know, coffees and some case of Mountain Dew, but, you know, they got their little cups and everything. Well, my class, they park all their cups outside the door because I don't like people drinking while I'm teaching. So I looked to one of the college students and I said, so what do you think? You think we should allow drinking in my class? I looked over to Courtney. Courtney says, Pastor, whatever you think is fine with me. Emily, am I getting mellowed or what? Thank you. That's what I knew you were going to say that. I looked over to Israel. No, it wasn't Israel next. Who was the other person? I looked over to another college student. One of the college students says, Pastor, whatever you... It was Josh Craighead. Look, Josh Craighead said, Josh, what do you think? Do you think we should allow drinking in my class? And he said, Pastor, whatever you think is fine with me. I looked over to Israel. Somehow you knew his answer before I even told you. I said, Israel, what do you think? And Israel said, I am really glad you asked me. I think we should be able to drink in your class. Now, so today I said, okay, I'm going to let you guys drink in my class. But I'm telling you, if you slurp, if you spill, if you are distracting, you're not drinking in my class. So I made an exception. First time I've ever done that before. And I still don't know how I feel about this. You know, if you would just let God make the decision for you, he'd let you do a whole lot more. Because when Courtney and Josh said, whatever you think and whatever you want, that's fine with me, actually that softened me up without them even knowing it. Can I just tell you that God's just looking for you to say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. And you know what God will do? He'll give you liberties you wouldn't have gotten if you'd just given your will to him. Are you keeping back part? You know, it's been said before that if you were any closer to God than you are right now, then you're backslidden. What is revival about? In April, we'll have our spring revival. What does revival do? It's to make alive, to bring us back to what we used to be. Listen, is there anything in your life that you've kind of let go of? At one time, God had all of it, but now you're keeping back part of that? I don't know what it might be, but if whatever that part is, don't be like Ananias and Sapphira. You know, God, I'll let you have whatever you want in my life. Maybe you said that when you're younger, but now God doesn't have everything in your life. You're making the decisions. You're doing what you want. Hey, listen, what you need to say is, God, I surrender all. I don't want part. I want you to have it all. Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira. Three times, they kept back part. I don't want part. I want him to have it all. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? The song tonight will be, I Surrender All. Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.